My name is Abu Abdullah Muhammad Ibn Battuta. In the Islamic world, the word Ibn means son of. Therefore, I am the son of Battuta. For most of my life, I have traveled in Africa, Southern and Eastern Europe, South Asia, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, and China. The year is 1337. I came across a legendary warrior princess in the kingdom of Tawalisi in South Asia. It is a vast area lying by the shores of the Lingayen Gulf and the China Sea. I sailed for 17 days from China on a Chinese junk boat, which had just come from the port of Kakula, north of Java and Sumatra, and passed by Pangasinan on the way to China.
Has anyone heard of the foreigner arriving on our shores? He fulfilled his Mecca pilgrimage, but somehow kept going, making a stopover here in Pangasinan. Quite an adventurer.
He set out alone from Morocco, joined the desert caravans and survived shipwrecks, then continued wandering and found himself on the Silk Road that led to India and China.
He somewhat established himself of importance, and was appointed the Sultan Muhammad of India as envoy to the Chinese Emperor, but had a lukewarm reception.
He started with under-famous scholars in Egypt, Syria, and the Hejaz, which earned him a scholarly distinction and respected guest in many Muslim courts.
We shall see for ourselves this foreigner's mettle. Send him an invitation to my court. We shall prepare a banquet tonight.
Yes!
I finally secured an invitation from the renowned Princess Urduha. Ah, her name means rising sun. She was the daughter of a Sultan Lakanpati who lost his sons defending the kingdom settlements. Her bravery and skills were near and far, and she ruled her people well and wisely. I have counseled sultans, rulers, and governors. It would be my honor to meet this warrior princess.
Princess Urduha, may I present to you the esteemed scholar, Ibn Battuta.
An overwhelming banquet you have for us, Princess Urduha.
I heard you have made quite a remarkable journey for almost 20 years. How did you know about my kingdom, Pangasinan?
If I may say so, I am a student of the world. A curious observer interested in the ways of life in various cultures.
Now, tell me then about Great India. We source pepper with them, which is an essential spice. Would there be any chance, if I should go to war with India, would expand my empire and be a big player in the spice trade?
I'm sure you will have much to learn from me. I've counseled military conflicts, but are you not looking forward to being a mother?
I am quite content with my status. I'm perfectly happy about running my kingdom. Should a woman be valued for much more than her childbearing capabilities? Should I not be valued for my wit, character, and true accomplishments?
Princess Urduha is an expert in using the kampilan, that's a long sword, and a skilled navigator. Apart from Arabic, she is also fluent in Hindu, Turkish, and Mandarin. A woman can be so much more.
You have been told all about me. I'm aware that it is quite spectacular for you to meet a female ruler. And all the eligible suitors in this vicinity are afraid to try for fear of a superior woman. Be assured that I shall not deny true love, if I deserve it, or vice versa.
Last month, during Princess Urduha's campaign battle in the neighboring town, her armies were prevented by her rival, Apostolakai. They attempted to derail her kingdom's expansion. They begged the villagers to intimidate her supporters.
And Apostolakai hustled her to accept defeat by suggesting a withdrawal. In other words, they did not fight fair. Did you say you mediated war conflicts even in Batuta?
They underestimated her, the Hill Baba Elang Sha. Her accomplishments speak clearly of her ability to lead and withdraw as never an option. Why should she, when she has a sterling track record of governance?
Your steely resolve is formidable. In a world of men, it is refreshing and rare indeed.
You must be wary from your travels, Ibn Battuta. Please help yourself to our banquet.
Pardon, Princess Urduha. Our guests are indifferent to the feast we laid for them.
Ibn Battuta, my servant, brought to my attention that it's not all going well. Your men are refusing my banquet. It is unacceptable here for guests to decline our hospitality. What exactly are your objections?
Apologies, Princess Urduha. I did not mean to cause any concern.
You are welcomed in my court. It is a privilege to get to know one another. How deeply wrong am I to assume that your travels and immersion in different cultures would follow that you have an open mind? We are a maritime power in the region. Surely you have seen silk canopies, gold-plated objects in other kingdoms glistening before you at this very moment. Yet you see our ways as barbarous.
Princess Urduha greeted you with the usual salutations of courtesy in the Turkish tongue, and had one of my attendants fetch ink and paper so she could write for you in Arabic characters that you recognized as the name of the merciful and compassionate God. Are such tokens of culture common among barbarians?
She became the leader of the Kinalakihan. She engaged in battle herself, often leading her army of men and women warriors. She led military expeditions to protect her people from pirates and marauders. Are you implying that we are infidels? Careful now.
Indeed, I had much to learn during my visit in the kingdom of Tawalisi. In spite of that blunder at the banquet, she remained a gracious host, and bygones be bygones, on my return voyage, she prepared our baton loads of rice, buffaloes, large jars filled with salted ginger, pepper, lemons, and mangoes. I shall have to fill you in with all my stories one day, for this princess was a legend.
Epilogue. Ibn Battuta seized his travel adventures by the age of 45. He didn't write about the chronicles himself, but was told through a scribe. While he was acknowledged as one of the first greatest travelers in history, scholars argue that he could possibly have made up his recollection of his adventures. This comprised the existence of a warrior princess, Urduha of Pangasinan, for she could be a legend or a myth.